I want to talk today about Job, a man of integrity. Praise God. We need, as sold out, born again Christians, to have integrity before the Lord. Amen. In our lives. Praise God. Lord, we praise you today. We want your word to speak in every life, Lord. God, minister to us. Let us hear your voice, God, and just be sold out to you. We thank you for the integrity of this man to teach us today, Lord, that we can too walk in integrity before you. And we praise you for this example in Jesus' name. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. We remember Job for his patience, his endurance. Amen. This man had, I mean, everything imaginable take place in his life. He lost his family. He lost his cattle. He lost his just his whole everything that surrounded him was taken from him. All because God believed in Job. God understood that, hey, you do whatever you feel necessary. I'm the only thing I'm going to withhold you from, Satan, is taking the man's breath, his last breath. That's my job. But anything else you want to try him with, he will serve me and not you. God had that much integrity. He knew that Job's integrity would stand the test because he knew Job. He had a relationship with him. He understood this man. This man understood God and loved God and desired all that God had for his life. He was righteous. Job was a righteous man. His heart was set on doing right. No one could change that. No circumstance, no problem, no shortcoming, no thing that didn't go his way. Did not matter. He was determined through any of life's trials, circumstances. When our circumstances don't go the way we think they ought to go, we change course and say, well, maybe that's not God wanting us to go there. Well, what if God was trying to test you like he was testing Job? If God spoke to you to go and do this and do that, circumstances should not have changed that. The word of God that he spoke in your spirit and in your heart ought to be the precedent because it's God's plan. And I don't care if this happened or that happened or this took place and that took place. God, you put it within my heart to do this. And so now I'm going to follow that no matter what trial comes my way, no matter what test happens, no matter what comes my way. And when some of us, when we first come to the Lord, you remember the headaches and everything that just life got real hard all of a sudden. It wasn't like that before you came to the Lord. Well, understand that the enemy of your soul knows. If I can put a cog in your wheel, you'll get discouraged and you'll think it's God. You'll think God's trying to mess me up. Here I am trying to live for him, and look at all this bad stuff happening now. It's a trick of the enemy. He will try to discourage you in your life. He will try to just make havoc so that you'll just stop and go back to Egypt, go back to the world, and continue, because life was good then. I mean, it wasn't real good, but it was better than the one I'm experiencing now. But God's waiting for someone that will walk through circumstances, troubles, things that come my way. No matter what, God, you're still God. Lord, you are worth putting up with what I'm putting up with right now. Amen. Having a relationship with you is important to me. In Job 1:1, it says, "In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job, and this man was blameless, upright, and feared God and shunned evil." Amen. His heart and mind was bent on doing right. Nothing else was going to change his mind. The verse states that he loved the Lord. He was upright, blameless. Nobody could point their finger at Job and say, look what you did. He followed God's will and plan. It didn't come naturally for him, nor does it any of us. Doing what's right, we talked about it the other day. You don't have to tell a kid to do wrong things. You got to teach them to do right. That's our human nature. That's the nature of sin, is to do evil, to do wrong, to do its own thing. And Job chose to live a life of integrity. It was his choice. Amen? If you want to live for God, it's a choice. I choose to not follow my feelings, my heart, the things that the Bible says are evil and desperately wicked. Amen? I choose not to follow that, but I will seek the Lord and His will in my life because I want relationship with Him. Clement of Alexander wrote, he says, "It is impossible for man to be steadily good except by his own choice. For if a man be compelled to be good, then he is not truly good. For he is not what he is by his own choice. For it is the freedom of each one that makes true goodness and reveals real wickedness." What you do, what you choose to do in life, amen, defines you. I choose to live for God. I choose to repent of my sin when I mess up, when I make a mistake. I'm not going to lay there in the mire. Amen? If I make a mistake, I've got to continue. God, I messed up. God, forgive me. Help me to change. Help me to get out of this what I'm in right now. Job's integrity was evident in the great concern he had for his family and well-being. He was sold out to doing what he needed to do to give his family a good inheritance and do all the things that to raise his family correctly and fear the Lord. It was evident to everyone around him that Job was a man of integrity. You could count on Job. You didn't have to worry when you asked Job to help you whether or not he was going to show up when he said he would, because Job was impeccable with his character. Perhaps one of the reasons Job survived his trial is that he had developed a habit of not being focused on himself. His desire, Job had an outlook rather than an inlook. How can I be a blessing to you? How can I strengthen you? How can I uplift you? It wasn't, how can I help me? What can I do for myself today? How can I bless me today? That was not Job's mindset. Job was worried about your life. He was compelled to be a blessing to you and strengthen you. Amen. It was a part of his DNA. In Job 1:5, It says, when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And this was Job's regular custom. Here is a man not worried about himself, getting up early in the morning, taking the time to sacrifice before the Lord and saying, God, just in case that one of my children have done wrong, God, I'm going to sacrifice for them, God. I'm going to pour myself out for them right now. God, please give them grace. He had a relationship with God. He knew who God was. He talked with him. He listened for God. He waited on the Lord. Job chose to have a relationship, though. It was his choice. Nobody forced him. Nobody twisted his arm to come and do those sacrifices. Job understood who God was. That God was his all in all. And he made a choice. Through thick and through thin, I'm going to serve my Savior. I'm going to walk with God. Each of us should seek to have our own relationship with the Lord. Amen. What Jesus Christ did on the cross for you ought to compel you to seek a relationship with him. He didn't do it for anybody else. He done it for you. He laid there. He let them do those things to him. He laid his life down. They didn't take his life because he had the power to call down angels and deliver himself off that cross at any moment. But because the foreknowledge that he had, he saw you in his future. He saw you having a relationship with God, having a conversation with him, and you loving him and walking with him and doing the things that he asks of you. He saw those things. Amen. And he wants that in your life today. If that's not where you're at, he wants that today. The enemy of your soul will discourage you and say, oh no, he just wants to take advantage of you, and he wants to make you be, you know, chained, and he wants to just put shackles on you so you can't do this and you can't do that. No, you do that because of who he is. Nobody makes you do it. You do it on your own. That's freedom, my friend. The world don't have that freedom. They're chained by sin. They're bound. They're born into it. I was born into sin. You were born into sin. We didn't have a choice. The choice we have is, do I want to continue in sin? Do I want to continue walking that way? No, I can make the choice to stand up on my own two feet and say, I, as for me and my house, I'm putting a line here in the sand, devil. We're going to serve the Lord. Amen? I am going to be the leader of my home, and I am going to have my home serve the Lord. That's a choice. Amen? That takes a man or a woman of integrity to say yes to God. I will follow you, and I will do right, amen, in your eyes, O Lord. Job was this type of man. God was so pleased with Job that he entered him into a contest with Satan. Wouldn't that be impressive of your own life for God to do that with you? Trust you so much that if he turned all hell loose in your life, he knew that you would come through. He knew that you would not forsake God. You would not leave the church. You would not walk away from God. Some of us get offended at somebody just speaking out of, you know, our tone's not right. We didn't talk to you in this type of tone. And we get all mad. And, well, I'm not coming back to that church no more. They didn't talk to me right. They looked odd at me. They did this or did that. Job had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. It was awful. His family was killed. Every one of his livestock, everything that he owned, did, was destroyed. But he laid there in all that and just loved God through it all, because he knew that God wasn't against him. He had that kind of integrity with his relationship with God, that God is going to bring me through this. What would happen if saints of God had that type of integrity, that I don't care what I'm facing right now, I'm going to make it through it. God, you're with me. Nothing's going to hinder me. Nothing's going to silence me. I'm going to walk in the integrity of the Holy Ghost, the power of God that's within me, because one day that power, that anointing is going to take me out of here, and I'll never have to worry about those problems ever again, because I'm going to be with the Lord and I'm going to be in his presence. I'm going to be changed, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I will not have to worry anymore about trying to live righteous, about walking in integrity. All of those things, I'm going to be changed. I'm going to become like the angels of heaven. Amen? What a day that will be. So Job 1:8 says, "Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is one on earth like no one on earth like him. He is blameless, an upright man who fears God and shuns evil.'" Wow, what a testimony. Would God speak that of us? Look at that guy. Take a gander at him, Satan. Try him. Trouble his life and see who he serves. So Satan declared Job's righteousness was conditional, suggesting that God propped him up. God, you're just keeping your hand on him. You're protecting him. You're putting a hedge around him. We pray that. God, put a hedge around me. Keep all this trouble from me. You know, don't let the devil get on me today, God. Don't let me have 4 flat tires today, God. Don't let my mowers break down. I was feeling that the other day. I was telling Brother Richards about it this morning. Every mower I got's broke down. The yard's this tall. I got stuck 3 times, 4 times. The mower belt broke that I just replaced. Oh, it was awful. But thank God somebody mowed my yard. Sometimes we get in situations we feel like, man, everything's coming against me. God, where are you? Have you forsaken me? We can learn from this man of God today that, no, God has never forgotten us. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. His word will forever stand. Amen. It will be what it says it will be to you. Amen. We must stay steadfast as Job was. He was steadfast, unmovable by circumstance, by problem, by everything that seemingly come against him. He knew that God would make up for it. He just knew. He just believed. He had went through utter despair. But he understood God would see him through. Matthew 10:22 says, "You will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." In other words, friend, people aren't going to like the God you're serving. When you mention Jesus to people, people get offended because of who he is and what he's done. Family may get upset because your lifestyle, your walking with God, rubs them the wrong way. It shines a light on them. And it burns them when they see you because you're no longer like them. But I'm telling you, if you will have integrity and stand strong, God will see you through that, and your family will begin to see you in a different light. They will begin to see the peace of God that's on you. They will begin to see the love of God that you have, even through all the turmoil that they've put you through. Stand for righteousness. Stand for truth. When I was going to get married, you know, family didn't seem to care much about me at first. And because of my lifestyle, my walking with God, and total different lifestyle than my wife was brought up in, it was not, you know, they was used to divorce in a short time, and, you know, just living life just any old way. But I stayed firm in the things of God. And now my mother-in-law thinks the world revolves around her son-in-law. Amen. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying a fact. That God will come through, and after time, they'll see your integrity is upright no matter what they try to put you through. Amen. Stay with a relationship with God, and God will help in time of trouble. Amen. He will restore to you a full life. He withstood discouraging words from other people. It didn't hinder him when somebody said bad things about him. It didn't damper his spirit at all, because he knew who was in charge of his life. Amen. His relationship was not hindered by anything else. It wasn't entangled in the affairs of the world. So it wasn't hard for him to follow God. Amen. He wasn't pushed or pulled by anything that the world had to offer because of a sold out walk with his God. Amen. Nothing would shake him. Not wealth. He had a lot of wealth. That didn't discourage him. Amen. Money is a great thing if you use it according to the ways that God has put in our life. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. If you don't believe me, get on and listen to Dave Ramsey once in a while. Amen. He believes in paying things off and getting debt free so that you can live like nobody else and be free like nobody else. Job lived that life, righteous, followed the ways of God, followed the instructions of God, and God blessed him. He was wealthy, had many, 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 many things. But it didn't sway his mind to go a different direction. He still followed God, even though he had everything he needed. So many times, when we get a raise, or a job promotion or something, we tend to forget that God gave us that. God blessed us. We start missing church and we start doing, you know, I've seen it many times. Next thing you know, where did they go? They got blessed and forgot about the blessings of God. Job 2:9 says, his wife said to him, are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die. Wow, what a supportive woman. Come on. I mean, look, your whole life is destroyed. Give it up already. No. My God is faithful. What a testimony. An understanding. A walk with God. Then while Job sat alone in his pain, three of his friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, came to comfort him. They wanted to try to encourage him and, you know, give him some strength. But instead of encouraging him and trying to make him feel better, they accused him of having sin in his life. You're hiding something. You're keeping things from God. God's mad at you. Everybody was coming against this man. He was alone. But Job did not allow their criticisms to destroy him. His own sense of personal integrity kept him focused on God. He worshiped in the midst of his trial. He did not stop praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord, even though all had forsaken him. He had no friends. His wife was against him. He lost everything. Everything was trouble in his life. But yet God, to him, was still God. He's a good God. He's a great God. Thessalonians 5:18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't allow circumstances to control the will and purpose of God in your life. Don't ever let it destroy your relationship with you and God. Many drop out of relationship with God the first time adversity hinders them. God will always come through if we stay steadfast, unmovable. Job 23:10 says, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. My feet have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. A sold out love and heart that is determined, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Paul had this kind of outlook. Nothing will separate me from God's love. He named all kinds of things. Job's integrity displayed this. He refused to blame God. He refused to tell God, it's your fault. Why I have to sit here and scrape these sores and you've taken my family and you. You've done this to me, God. Friend, no. That's the voice of the enemy in your life. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy your life. And he'll use anything in life, any circumstance that he can, any cog in the wheel he can throw into your path to cause you to say, I must not be going the right direction. Did you hear the voice of God? Did God call you? Did God speak to you? Has he brought you here today? He's still in control. He's still moving in your life. Trust him. Walk with him. Follow the ways of God. God will lead and guide you. Don't blame him. Job did not understand why he was in such a pitiful state. He didn't understand it, but he refused to blame or criticize God for it. One thing he did know, he wasn't doing it on purpose. He wasn't doing it to hurt me. Unbeknownst to Job, God was telling the devil, see, look at it. Still loving me. You try all you want. Go ahead. Do it. Do something else. He's going to love me. Get this, Satan. Your people, God's people, are still here today serving me. Still walking with God after many years of living for God. Still in the house of God, praising God. No matter what's happened in their lives, they're still here today. Take a look. God's still moving in their life. God's still healing them. God's still setting them free. God's still supplying their needs. Look around, Satan. God's pleased today. Amen? With your sacrifice, with your love for him, with still holding the things of God strong and in your life, that it means something to you. The enemy is weak and powerless because of your choice. Amen? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. God will see you through. And when you come out of that trial and that test, then God will begin to restore the things that you need in your life. Matthew 5:45. That thou may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Time and chance happens to everyone. Amen. We get flat tires. We get broken down lawnmowers. We get heartaches. We get these things. But through it all, there's still a merciful, loving Savior that cares for you. Amen. And has never left you. Amen. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You're still here today. You're still breathing. You're still loving him. Amen. He's kept you through some things. You could testify today of the miraculous things that God has done for your life. Amen. Has he brought any of us out? Amen. Has he saved you from disaster? Has God kept you through anything? I'm here to tell you, God has delivered us. Amen. God has set us free from ourselves. Praise God. We must not let bitterness take root and poison the rest of our lives. Amen. Bitterness will consume and kill your life. It holds no regard for anyone. It will entangle every ounce and inch of your life if you do not rid yourself of that evil root. It entangles itself. Amen. And the one that is offended, the one that has offended you, is living their life. Probably not even thinking about you. But you hold that root. It's so deep and so precious in your life, and it's like, I've got this thing in my life, and I can't rid myself of it. And it all the while just continues to wrap itself around your heart and around your mind and around your soul, and just entangles itself and just causes you to have relationships in other areas of your life to fall apart, because you can't rid yourself of this bitterness that is destroying and burning and eating at you. It will destroy you, my friend. That's why you've got to have a choice in your life to say, I will not allow this bitterness to rule my life. I'm going to stand up for righteousness, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness for myself first. I need a Savior to forgive me. I can't forgive anybody till Jesus Christ forgives me and washes me from who I am, my offense to Him. You have offended Him. I have offended Him. Amen. When I sin, I drive nails into His hands and into His feet, and I whip His back. When I sin, when I do unrighteousness, I am offending Christ. But He went to the cross anyhow. Even while you were yet a sinner, He died for you. He became the supreme sacrifice for your sin. Even while you were doing it, He saw you on that cross. He saw what you were doing. He did it for you. And if you can choose today to love Him and allow Him into your life, I'm telling you, He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will forgive you. His blood will wash that stain out of your life, and He will not ever remember it or see it in your life. It's just as if it never happened. That's what forgiveness can do, my friend. It can forgive you. It can cleanse you as though you never sinned. One simple act of repentance and saying, God, I am sorry. Walking into a watery grave, allowing a man of God to speak the name of Jesus so that the blood can be released over you in that powerful cleansing, and then opening yourself up for the power and the anointing of His Spirit to come inside of you and fill you to overflowing so that you can have power to walk godly and righteously in this present world. Not conforming to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, being renewed in your walk with God, just as if you'd never been there. What a powerful, amazing thing that we have hold of here today. Amen. You can live for Jesus Christ. You can stop doing what you aren't able to do right now. But you have to let Him in. You have to let Jesus in. I say it all the time. I can't get good to get God. I got to get God to help me get good. Because I'm a fleshly human that makes mistakes. I mess up. God knew that, Brother Pritt. He knew that we make mistakes. We're not invincible like He is. So he knew, I will make a plan. I will give them a way. I will make an escape for them. He knew that the law was not going to work. Amen. Because no one is perfect. So He, being perfect, became sin for us. Amen. He became what we need today. We need His righteousness. So if we allow what His plan wanted to do into our lives and obey it, follow it, then we have His righteousness. And we can walk in His righteousness. not ours. Because, Brother Aaron, we make mistakes. We mess up. We forget. We do these things. And we can begin to get grow and become stronger in the ways of God. Hallelujah. Give yourself to the Almighty today. Amen. Make a choice. Stand up. Be a man or a woman and say, I, as for me and my house, I'm going to live for God. Amen. I'm going to trust His righteousness now, not mine. Because we're gonna be imperfect until we cross through the pearly gates. Amen. And He changes us. Amen. Let's stand.